The committee will come to order. Representative Doherty, would you move the minutes?
Madam Chair, I move adoption of the minutes from March 1st.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Approved. Representative Junkie. Representative Doherty, would you move the bill?
Madam Chair, I move that Senate File 133 be recommended to pass and be placed on the general register.
Thank you, Madam Chair, and thanks for moving the bill, Representative Doherty. Members, what you have in front of you is a resolution to Congress. It comes in a timely fashion. I will tell you, this resolution's already passed the Senate last session. Senator Dill carried it. It's already passed off the Senate floor by a very, very overwhelming majority. And the reason Senator Dill, I waited for that, and he asked me to expedite that this language this year because Congress is actually taking up this language, they think, during this session that they're working on, and so it's very timely to get it there. I know there's a few testifiers that want to talk about it. I won't take long. I hope and assume that a lot of you are aware of the horse slaughter issue in this country that's been developing over the last number of years. And there's an information packet that shows a lot of the supporters and a lot of the issues, and you can certainly read that yourself. Basically, what this resolution does is recognize a problem in that we've basically shut down or eliminated all the horse slaughter facilities that used to be in the United States. And there weren't that many, but on the auspices that this was not a, that this was a cruel way to treat this particular animal, whether you consider it livestock or a pet or anything else, there comes a day where, you know, horses are unrideable, they get sick, they bite and get mean. People that own horses or donkeys know that, Representative Eakin. And there's some point where you have to have something to do with these animals. And they're not the type of thing that you take care of yourself and bury in the backyard. And for years and years and years, we were able to bring them to slaughter and actually put them into the market. There is a meat market yet for horses, not so much in this country, but worldwide. And, you know, I think it's good to get it all out. But what happened when you banned these slaughter facilities, I think, was unintended to the Humane Society, HSUS, and others who were probably working this issue over the years, in that they expressed that they thought what would happen is you'd have a lot of rescue farms that would open up, and that people would find homes, a place to pasture, you know, old Ned until the days that old Ned dies a natural life. And in a real world, that would be very nice. And we hope, and there still are those available, but what's happened instead is people, good-meaning people, good-meaning horse owners, and particularly over the last few years where the economy has gone down, they're unable to afford to bring them to these facilities. They're unable to run these facilities. They're even unable, perhaps, to afford, as we heard in ag finance, for those that were there, feed bills and other things in this economy. And so they have to do something with the horses. There's nowhere to go to a slaughter with them or anything else. What they're doing is releasing them on public lands. And we're seeing literally tens of thousands, if not hundreds of thousands, of horses, particularly in states like Kentucky and large horse states where they have also large federal lands. I can tell you, I chair the Agriculture Committee for the CSG MLC, and my staff person used to live in Kentucky, and she was a horse owner, and she said it was actually a pitiful sight to drive out to their Kentucky National Parks and see horses that had been released that are now starving. These aren't wild animals. They're just out, you know, like letting a domestic cat or dog go in the country. They're out. They can't eat. They're sick. They're being eaten by wolves and coyotes. It's a much more inhumane way to have treated those horses than perhaps bringing them humanely to a place where they can be put to sleep. And so for all those reasons, there are states that would like to perhaps look at reopening some of these plants. But even more distressing, there are plants available across the border yet, Mexico in particular, that will take these animals. But there's been a push now to ban interstate and international trucking of horses so that that option would be shut off. So as this is debated, we think, again, in a very humane way, that we want to emphasize that this problem needs to be addressed and that we believe it is humane. And as long as they're treated humanely, we certainly don't condone mistreatment of animals in any way, shape, or form. But just like they do at our local humane societies when they take in stray dogs and cats, if they don't get rid of them within an X amount of time, they are euthanized in a very humane and straightforward way. It's no different for horses. And so I think this passed off the Senate floor on a 50-9 vote last year. So it's got broad support in the Senate. Certainly Senator Dill, a veterinarian, is very well-meaning on this and provided me with a lot of information. But I can tell you this is an issue that does need to be addressed by Congress, and we hope to send this resolution on to them as a legislative body. So with that, Madam Chair, I'll quit, answer questions, but maybe more importantly, bring up, I know Farmers Union and Farm Bureau are here on behalf of our producers to testify, and certainly can hear from them too.
Representative Shudmansky.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Representative Junkie, not exactly related on this topic, but our horses...
And Representative Shudmansky, before you go on, I assume you've heard about this from your senator at probably every meeting you've been at for the last 2 years, but I know your senator. Yes. Anyway, yes. Go ahead.
What's the circumstance with horses that are euthanized? Can they still be taken to a rendering service? Is that related?
I'm going to ask a horse owner here to answer that.
Representative Peterson. Madam Chair, members, I'll answer the question first. As far as I know, once the horse is put down, it can go to a rendering company. It's a very difficult issue. It's gotten very expensive, and sometimes you have to wait. Like up in our area, you have to wait. I heard last week it was $200 and some. Years ago, I used to get paid to pick up, you know, and then Central Byproducts picks up horses, and it's gotten expensive, and it's not a money making endeavor either. So,
thank you. Any other questions? Does anyone else want to testify?
So, Madam Chair, yeah, we're going to have Farmers Union and Farm Bureau testify.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you, Madam Chair, members. I'll just give a few brief comments. Farmers Union supports this resolution. And I'd also note that I'm personally a horse owner. I've been involved in the horse business my whole life. And I've been involved, unfortunately, in having to send many to auction and many right to people that send them away. And it's a necessary part of the business a lot of times. And I think that, you know, when you look at the cost, a lot of times to euthanize, and then to bury it, and what are your options for burial, the markets have always proven to be a good option. I always think a real quick story. I worked with a girl in 4-H years ago, too. She was 13 years old, saved all her money up to buy a horse, and her parents didn't have a lot of money. She bought the horse, was getting it ready for the county fair. She was doing great. The horse fell and broke its leg, and he had to be euthanized. That is what the vet told us, but I also told her, I said, I could get you, you know, at that time the market was good, I could get her about $400 for the horse. And they didn't have any money, and they didn't have, you know, $100 to have the vet out to euthanize it, and then another $100 to have it buried away, taken away or buried. And so it was a switch for that family of $700. And so we were able to get her a new horse, we got that horse away. And, you know, so a lot of times that was, I felt good for that horse. I'd also encourage you, too, I personally go to a lot of the auctions. You know, if you go to Hutchinson or Winger, Cannon Falls, Long Prairie, I urge you to stop in and talk to your owners that have horse sales and ask them, you know, how that works and what the business is and where it goes. Up in our area, we have Bram and Rock Creek now that have horse sales. And last month, the horse sales have been terrible. They have one horse got over $100 at the Bram sale, and they had two baby horses, yearling horses, come in, They got $5 for both horses, and it's $14 per horse to sell the horse at the auction. So the auctioneer says, I got you $28 for those. I got you $5 for those two horses, but you owe us $28. So he lost $23 on the transaction. But we're seeing a lot of that right now. A lot of people going in with the economy, and then the breeding farms not having the market to sell. And so I urge you to consider this. I think that, as Representative Junkie said, we got to keep looking at humane solutions to this and to address it. So I urge you to pass this. Thank you.
Any questions?
Hang on. I'll wait till after you justify your stuff. All right. Go ahead.
Madam Chair, members of the committee, Jeremy Jeske with Minnesota Farm Bureau. It will be very brief. I think Mr. Peterson from Farmers Union summed up everything pretty well. With Farm Bureau also supports this resolution and encourages you to pass it along. We're hearing from our horse owner members many of the same things about how much the value of the horse has declined and what that's meant to proper treatment and feeding of those animals. So we think this is a good resolution and encourage your support.
Representative Shemansky.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Representative Junkie, will this bill be coming before your committee as well?
Madam Chair, no, it goes right to the floor for action there.
The reason I asked is typically you ask for samples when the people come before the committee.
Yeah, thank you for that.
Representative Jaskowski.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Thank you, Representative Junkie, for bringing this bill forward. Excellent bill. I've got a question. Maybe you can answer it, or either Mr. Jeske or Mr. Peterson. But I'm curious, where exactly are we at the federal level? Has Congress actually outlawed it, or have the plants just closed down voluntarily because of pressure from the animal rights extremists?
Give us a federal update if you're following with your federal folks.
From what I'm aware, it was the state laws that closed the two plants. Although there was a bill to do that, it didn't pass because the states closed those plants before that. And currently, the law to ban the transport is being talked about, but has not been voted on.
So the bills have been introduced but not acted on. But they're supposed to get hearings this year, and so we think it's important to weigh in.
Thank you.
Any other testifiers?
Whoever wants to testify, you should probably come back here and hang out, and then we'll bring you up on either side of the issue.
There's someone else.
No, go ahead. Okay. Just introduce yourself for the tape.
I'm Mark Ward, and as the president of the Minnesota Horse Council, I would also encourage passage of this bill. We believe that horse processing is a necessary component of today's horse industry. And if there are any questions about the increase in the number of unwanted horses, which is our primary reason for believing that processing is necessary at this time, I'll be happy to answer them.
And they're listed in your packet, too. We have a whole list of folks. Minnesota Horse Council is one of those supporters, so we're happy to have them here. And maybe you can talk a little bit about what you're seeing in Minnesota. I think it would be helpful for folks as far as, what do people do when they're in straits and they have an old or used-up animal in sense? And, what are some of the challenges we're facing here with your folks?
Well, I think one of the biggest challenges that we have heard numerous reports about are from people who have in the past found that there's a way to inexpensively or actually on the plus side for their personal economics get rid of their now unwanted horses, and be it that if they're too lame or too old or for whatever reason they've become unwanted. In some cases they can be they could have been sent off to slaughter and for some few hundred dollars of income, and now that's not possible. So for some people they are finding it very difficult to afford the few hundred dollars that it takes to have a veterinarian euthanize the horse, and that's a that varies in price. When I have my horses euthanized, it costs about $150. And then on top of that, to have the carcass then hauled to what's called an animal cemetery, which is actually a landfill up near St. Cloud, that disposal process costs in the range of $150 also. So it's about $300 to dispose of a horse, and by having it euthanized and then carried off. The university also provides a service, and it can even be less expensive if they have space for it. And what is happening to some people is that they've decided that they can't afford the $300, and it's too bad that they were owning horses in the first place, but this has happened to quite a few people, and so they abuse the horses by not feeding them enough, or they let them loose. And we've had quite a few reports at the Minnesota Horse Council of people. They've gone trail riding at a park, and they come back and they find an extra horse is tied to their trailer. No explanation, no note. There it is, but they know where it's from. And, of course, we've heard that horses have been let loose in the Boundary Waters area because no one will see you when you're up there, evidently. And does that answer the question?
Mm-hmm. Very good. There's a question for you.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Representative Junkie, I'm just really glad to see that you're carrying a dill bill.
I know, and both you and Chemancy are on this committee as a House member.
Yes, there can't be any doubt how we'll vote. But just wondering if it's been answered, excuse me, but I mean, as a little younger growing up in Litchfield, I mean, the mink farm had older horses there, and I know what became of them. What would you do with horse meat?
Would you like me to answer that?
Sure.
Oh, well, the horse meat is largely exported, and as far as I know, and there are other uses of the other parts of the horse than the meat when it is rendered. For hide and the sinews can be produced into, I suppose, glue-like things, really. And, of course, marshmallows have the contents of horse hooves and sinews in them, if you didn't know that, or used to. Now it's from other animals. But so there's a lot that can be done with the total horse, but the meat itself is largely exported. It's not, I don't know of any horse meat that's sold in the United States. I suppose there is, but I don't know of it. But it's there's a lot of horse meat exported to Japan, Belgium, and elsewhere.
Representative Erdahl?
Thank you, Madam Chair. I didn't really need to know about marshmallows, but my question is going to be, what countries are the biggest export? Do we export the most to, and you say Japan, and where else?
Belgium.
Okay.
And France.
Figures. Thank you.
Any other questions?
Okay, we might have someone else.
Yep,
we got another testifier.
Thank you, Chair, for this opportunity.
Yep, thank you. Just introduce yourself.
Yeah. Madam Chair, members of the committee, my name is Howard Goldman, and I'm the Minnesota State Director for the Humane Society of the United States. We have over 170,000 members in the state, and we oppose this bill. I'm also a horse owner. I've been a horse owner for 17 years, and there's many other horse owners with me this afternoon who also oppose this bill. And I have some prepared remarks I'd like to read, and of course be happy to answer questions. I know there's another testifier as well who wants to speak against this bill. The horse is a beloved icon in America. Our country was built on the backs of horses. They've never been part of our diet. Today we raise horses for work, for sport, for pleasure, not for dinner. Americans don't want their horses eaten any more than they want their dogs or cats or other companion animals as part of our diet. In the past several years, all the horse slaughterhouses in the United States have been shuttered. They were shuttered under state law, most recently in Illinois and in Texas. Horses slaughtered for food are slaughtered in Mexico and in Canada, and as we just heard, the meat, all of it, is sent to France, Belgium, Germany, and Japan. Simply put, foreign-owned companies are slaughtering our horses that were never bred for food in the first place. I've seen footage of the slaughterhouses in Mexico, and it's a brutal process. What they use in Mexico is a puntilla. It's a small knife, and they stab the horses to death. In most instances, the horses are paralyzed. They're shackled and hoisted while they're conscious, and then their throats are slit. There's no humane standards at all in Mexico. It's a brutal business, as I said. The claim has been made that most of the horses, or a significant percentage, are old or sick or lame. That simply isn't the case. I've reviewed USDA data. 93% of the horses, in their judgment, are in good condition. Means they could have gone to new owners where they could have lived productive lives if they had not been purchased by killer buyers doing the bidding of foreign diners. If owners can no longer keep their horses, there are other options. And when we purchased our horses, we knew full well we had the responsibility to take care of that horse. And in one instance, we had to euthanize our horse because we had no other choice. But we took that responsibility and we covered the costs. Horses can be sold to new owners. They can be placed at equine rescues or sanctuaries, provided to 4-H groups, or most importantly, at this point in time, euthanized humanely. And the slaughter process is anything but humane. The cost may be $200, $250. We understand that. We know many vets will work out installment payments for owners who've purchased these horses in order to put them down humanely. Horses, by their very nature, are flight animals. That's their first response to a frightening environment. Very, very difficult to slaughter in a humane fashion, even under the Animal Welfare Act, even in the United States. Federal law requires that horses are rendered unconscious. That's in the United States. Prior to slaughter, with a captive bolt pistol, which shoots a metal rod into the horse's brain. We have undercover footage that shows that many of the horses in the slaughterhouses in Illinois and in Texas were not stunned appropriately, were kicking unconscious when they were shackled and hoisted to have their throats cut. Horses respond to fear by throwing their heads, making such live dismemberment an inevitability. I should also point out that I've talked with the United Food and Commercial Workers, and they, of course, would be asked to staff the slaughterhouses. And I've been told by their officials that it's a very, very dangerous process, and they're quite concerned about the safety of their own workers on the slaughterhouse floors. The cruelty of horse slaughter isn't limited to the slaughter itself. Horses are shipped frequently under very inhumane conditions. I've seen the footage over very long distances, overcrowded, little food or water. They're in cattle trucks, which were not designed for horses. Of course, they were designed for cattle. Pregnant mares are shipped, and injured horses as well. In 2006, a national survey conducted by Public Opinion Strategies showed that 70% of Americans, and I assume that's just as true in Minnesota, are strongly against the slaughter of American horses for human consumption overseas. Minnesota ranks in the top 10 for horse ownership. We have over 180,000 horses in the state. The vast majority are owned for enjoyment and for showing. If nothing else, we owe our horses a humane death, not a death in a slaughterhouse. They've worked hard for us. They've performed hard for us. We owe them that. And for these reasons, we oppose Senate File 133. I'm also representing the Minnesota Humane Society and the Animal Humane Society in Golden Valley. Thank you.
The next testifier, please.
Thank you.
And then we'll take questions.
Okay, thanks. My name is Drew Fitzpatrick, and I'm the director of the Minnesota Hoofed Animal Rescue, which has been in operation in Minnesota for 15 years. I'm also a state humane agent, and I have been a state humane agent for, I believe, 10 or 11 years. I've kind of lost count of that. It's been a long time, and I am not an animal rights extremist. there is a difference between animal welfare and animal rights, and we are animal welfare. We do have to put horses to sleep at our facility. We are mostly responsible for taking in animals in the state of Minnesota. I don't know of any other shelter that is taking in horses in the state of Minnesota from our resulting humane cases. I work with most of the other agents in the state and the other humane societies, both advertising their animals on our website and then taking them in directly to ours. We do somewhere around 100 horses a year, and advocate for probably another 100, helping people find placement for their horses and things like this. I've been a humane agent for a long time. I'm not seeing loose horses running around skipping loose. Not any more than we always have. There are horses that get loose. The cops call us. We go pick them up before they get hit, before they make a problem. We have been called in many instances where Fluffy just got loose and was skipping down the road. It's not any different now than it was before. I'm not seeing these grand herds of horses skipping loose in I-80s and things like this. I would know these things because I know all the other agents in the state. If there was a big problem, I would have been there and picked it up, cleaned it up, whatever. And that's not what I'm seeing. Yes, the market is depressed, and I've seen the market be depressed before when we did have slaughter. And I'm not thinking that that's anything more than the economy. This happens to be the perfect storm. In 2007, we had a drought, and hay prices skyrocketed. A lot of people got out of horses then. A lot of people are losing their homes. They're losing their businesses. The little town I live in is just about deserted. But I am still adopting out horses. I'm still getting decent adoption fees for those horses. And we are carrying on business as usual. Yes, I put horses to sleep. Those horses that are injured or unsound or unsafe, cranky, whatever. We do put them to sleep. We put them to sleep. I would never put an animal with a broken leg on a truck and send it to Texas to be killed. That is beyond the pale. That's what we're trying to avoid by not having horse slaughter continue and to have the shipping of horses to slaughter. We believe that this situation, which is righting itself, will continue to right itself. Horse people that cannot afford horses, them being luxury items, are getting out of the business. The auctions are still functioning. People go to the auctions. They buy and sell horses. Some of the low-end auctions, horses are getting quite inexpensive. But then again, the pleasure horse industry, the show horse industry is still going very strong. And there's many, many people that are still getting into horses. They're buying up some of these farms that are going cheap now. And they're calling me and they're wanting to get into horses. And they're doing it the right way. They're asking about how much it costs. They're doing it responsibly. So I see the horse market coming back. The low end is always going to be the low end. There's always going to be those backyard breeders that produce nasty-looking animals with bad temperaments and little training. I don't think that the slaughter market is going to stop that or cure that. Oh, and the slaughter withdrawal date. The meat that these horses are producing, I believe, is unsafe. If you look on any horse medications, it says not to be used in horses intended for food. There is no slaughter withdrawal date whatsoever. This meat is supposedly, I don't know this for a fact, but supposedly it's causing problems in France. It's causing problems in Europe because the animals there are being shipped from the United States where we don't eat horses and we use all kinds of drugs on them. When they're sick, when they start to have problems, we inject them with all kinds of stuff, and that's not to be used on a meat animal. Most agricultural veterinarians, if you started waving some of these syringes that we use on the horses at a cow, they'd have a fit because you can never use those drugs on a meat animal. Never. It doesn't come out of the system, and it's creating a poisoned product. And if you look even in a feed store at the dewormers and stuff, you'll see that. And this is stuff that people buy over the counter all the time. They give it to their horse every 2 months. Not to be used in horses intended for food purposes. Ever. There's no slaughter withdrawal date. I believe that's all I have to say.
All right.
Is there any questions?
Are there any questions? Representative Hamilton?
Thank you, Madam Chair. And to the testifier, you made a comment about she would not support an animal with a broken leg being transported to Texas. Would you support an animal without broken legs being transported to Texas?
No. Not the way I've seen it done, and not how I understand that the slaughter plants work. It's not humane. A cow has a short neck, and they're a different type of animal. They have, I eat cattle, you know, I'm not a vegetarian. I'll tell you that right now. But a cow is different than a horse. The slaughter plants are set up different for cattle. Horses have a long neck with a big head on the end of it, and when they see something coming at their head, they move their head around. The guys miss a lot. I have seen that footage also, probably the same footage that Howard saw, maybe more. You can look it up on YouTube. It shows all kinds of different plants and undercover stuff. But I know the nature of horses, and I know that if you come at them with one of these stun guns, which is about this big, that shoots a bolt out the end, you start trying to tag them in the center of the head, they move. And there's no restraining devices. I've not seen anything like that. I can't imagine that it would be a humane death. It is a death, but I don't believe it's humane.
Representative Hamilton.
Thank you, Madam Chair. And you're saying even if a horse didn't have a broken leg, you still wouldn't support transferring a horse from Minnesota to Texas?
No, not regardless. In double-decker trucks. Not. It's not right. The industry is not right.
Madam Chair.
Think we can do without it.
Representative Hamilton.
Madam Chair, to the testifier as well, you're talking about problems with the meat over in France. Number one, what type of information are you basing that position on?
It is hearsay, but I also know something about the veterinary industry and how slaughter withdrawal dates work. And everything that I've used on the animals that I have eaten, the cattle and the sheep and even my chickens, when I have to give them some kind of a drug or a feed with antibiotics in it, there's always a slaughter withdrawal date. You cannot eat that animal within X amount of time from giving that medication. There is no slaughter withdrawal dates on horse medication. The things that are commonly used for a limping horse, butazolidin, it's very, very dangerous even to handle. And I could imagine that an animal that's been given butazolidin for a long period of time, and then perhaps finally the person sends the horse to auction and that meat ends up in France, nobody knows that. It's unsafe.
One more? Okay, my last question. To that point, Madam Chair, I was wondering if there's a veterinarian in the audience that could speak to that as well, and that if the any type of meat protein that is processed in the United States, would it not go through the same type of scrutiny to make sure that it is safe for consumers? So just a question if we have a veterinarian in the audience as well.
Is there anyone in the audience? Guess not.
Okay, we'll follow up on that.
Yeah. Representative Duskowski.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I would ask, and maybe a follow-up to Representative Hamilton, our meat slaughter facilities in the U.S. and in Minnesota are inspected for the types of things you talked about, drug residues, etc. There are random samples that are taken. If we had an inspection facility in Minnesota or a slaughter facility in Minnesota or Illinois or Iowa or Wisconsin that adhered to those same principles of food safety that we do for cattle and hogs and chickens, and that adhered to and again, I would expect if a facility like this were built, that they would be required to maintain humane standards like we do in the rest of our slaughter facilities. If those things happen, at that point, would you support the slaughter of horses?
No. I still could not, because I run a humane facility, and we are taking in the horses that are the ones that nobody wants, that have training issues, that have problems, and we are repairing those animals, and we're able to find homes for them. So I don't see that slaughter is necessary. I don't see that we need that type of disposal system for our companion animals, which is what horses really are now. They're luxury items, they're companion animals. I don't see a need for that type of automatic disposal issue or process.
Real quickly, Madam Chair.
Representative,
thank you, Madam Chair. Just quickly, and the last question, thank you. So would you categorize horses then as pets or livestock?
That's a tough one. They are, I think, more pets now because we don't use them to survive anymore. They are, I believe they are companion animals, more pets. The pet industry is a huge industry across the nation. And in Minnesota, we have a very huge industry of specialized veterinarians, et cetera, et cetera. You go down to the U, and there are multiple stalls for the horses. There are treadmills, aqua treadmills, all kinds of fancy imaging devices, et cetera, for dogs. For cats, are kind of hard to get to do that stuff. But for dogs and for cat and for horses, there are these multiple beautiful facilities to figure out what's wrong with an animal, to do all this diagnostic work, et cetera, et cetera. And then you go down to where the cattle wing is, and there's really nothing. They are a food animal. I've taken animals down to the U, livestock animals, and you get a livestock animal discount, and they will do very good surgeries and stuff like that. They can do x-rays, but they don't have the devices and the technology for the livestock that they do for the companion animals. To me, the money that's spent in the horse industry says that they're companion animals. They're pets. People don't generally spend $5,000 just to get their cow straightened out because it's got its stomach twisted. And that's the minimum that you pay at the U for colic surgery. They do colic surgeries all the time. If it was really livestock, people would have just shipped it. They would have just knocked it on the head. It would have been disposed. It's not happening.
Representative Junkie, would you like to get a...
Okay, thank you. Well, thank you, Madam Chair and members. To conclude here, again, I'd point out the supporters, and you have a list of that, and I'll read them off quickly. You have national groups, the American Association of Equine Practitioners, American Quarter Horse Association, American Veterinary and Medical Associations. You have the local groups, Minnesota Association of Equine Practitioners, Minnesota Grain and Feed Association, Minnesota Horse Council, who you've heard from, the Minnesota Veterinarian Medical Association, our veterinarians in this state. You've heard from Farm Bureau, Farmers Union, on behalf of farmers and members from their organizations. And I think interesting, too, what you see is their support of national legislative groups, including the Midwest Council of State Governments, where I chair the Ag Committee, as well as the NCSL, National Council of State Legislatures. And reason being is this is also a states' rights issue. And we're asking the federal government to allow states in their permitting process, and a lot of you talked about it. You know, I appreciate the comments from some of the folks here that were in opposition to the bill, but I think they're a bit misdirected in that, as Representative Hamilton and Drazkowski and others were alluding to, they should rather focus on the treatment as they go into the slaughter plants, just like we do with poultry and just like we do with cattle and other things. I mean, horses are livestock. And certainly as a horse owner and a livestock owner, you also have certain rights on what you are able and should be able to do with that animal. And to ban those rights, to market them the way you feel, or to transport them the way that you feel fit as the owner of that livestock, I think treads on farmers' rights too, and we certainly are worried about consequences if that type of a trend would continue on any slaughter rights for livestock or transport rights. So for a lot of reasons, this is not only a horse owner's rights, but it's a state rights issue, too. There's a number of states, Montana, Wyoming, our neighbor North Dakota, who have talked about in the past few years and explored the possibilities of reopening some of these slaughter plants. And they, too, do not want the interference from Washington, D.C., telling them as states what they can and cannot do other than the humane treatment of these animals once they arrive at slaughter or in transport. No one says you should mistreat animals as they're transported or as they enter a slaughter facility. And, in fact, I think we could do a better job in the United States than maybe even we see in other countries. And that should be an impetus to support this and make sure that we're doing the right thing here rather than relying on other governments to do our job. So for all those reasons, Madam Chair, I hope you can support this bill. Again, I think it was overwhelming. There was a 50-9 vote in the Senate. They passed this off the floor already, and that's why it's sitting here waiting for action.
Representative Doty, would you move your motion?
Madam Chair, I renew my motion that Senate File 133 be recommended to pass and be placed on the General Register.
All those in favor?
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? The bill is passed.
Thank you, Madam Chair and members.
Adjourned.